The following BLTV program is brought to you by O'Flaherty Law. Please enjoy.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Seize Your Business podcast. My name is Brian McDonald, partner at On Purpose Growth. And today, what we're going to be talking about is how to rebuild something better while you're in chaos. So if you're in chaos in your business and you don't know what to do, we're going to talk about how you can rebuild yourself and your business to something better as you go through that chaos. And I got the perfect guest to talk about that. And you'll understand in a minute. I got my friend Lee Mainprice, the mindset architect, and he's going to talk about how he's done that in his life and his journey. So Lee, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate this.
Yeah, excited to be here, excited to share and, connect with your listeners.
Yeah, man, this is going to be great. So why don't you give people a little bit of your background and your story, and we'll get into everything after that.
Yeah, sure. So I've been an entrepreneur for sort of 23 years. I started in business myself. I've got a whole background in mind, body and fitness. A lot of that connection came through martial arts. And, you know, being attracted into that. And then I got into a lot of the mindset stuff in my early 20s, which I wasn't exposed to in school at all. And that blew my mind, you know, some of the concepts and things that I really, you know, needed to learn that I was only just getting my hands on. So in my martial art classes, when I was a young guy, you know, these concepts that were blowing my mind, I absolutely had to share them with my students because these were like life-changing things, you know, that people just didn't know about, you know, and I was super excited because, you know, I was inspiring and helping other people to improve their lives. So that was sort of, you know, really my journey. And, you know, I've always been inquisitive. I've always been a deep thinker. And, you know, through my journey of being an entrepreneur, it was really about 5 years ago where my life really hit the rock bottom. And you hear about these stories where, you know, usually as an entrepreneur, we're resilient people. We can deal with one or two things, you know. But my life, I was literally, I'd launched two big gyms and fitness chains. And so I was out with some staff members on the launch. And I ended up in a local town where my parents lived in the pizza place. You know, we'd had a few drinks, we'd had a good night, all normal. I was just getting a pizza going home. Anyway, everything changed that night because four people decided to target me, come out after me in the pizza place and attack me.
Wow.
So I'm walking up the road and I'm like, you know, probably in not such nice terms, but go away. I'm going home.
Yeah, right.
You know, as a martial artist, you know, I've had to defend myself several times, but you know, you're aware of danger and you're very aware of when you're confident of being able to handle yourself. I'm a six down, so I've done it 30 years and I fought for Great Britain, you know, accomplished martial artist. So, you know, you avoid those things because, you know, it's ugly. It's not, you know, really what you're going to be doing. But I've been put in a position where I was just hit out of nowhere. Pizza, boom, tossed in the air. So a person tries to hit me again. So I'm, you know, natural instinct, I knock this person out, just one shot. And then I go over the road, again, as I would do in my training to avoid. Somebody else comes at me, so I just literally just sit them down on the floor. And then I'm going away again, and somebody else comes running at me, and I literally push them, and they break their arm. So I've walked away from the situation. Probably a couple of weeks later, I get a call from the police, you know. One person's broken fingers, one person's got broken arm. We're charging you with two GBHs, which is what it's called in the UK, two assaults.
Okay.
Each one carries 3 years. So, yeah. So this is a guy who's, a good person, a nice person. And then just in that one moment, your life just is suspended reality of like, you know,
right.
What the heck is going on, you know, and something that none of us could probably account for, you know. So, and because it's me and there's literally five of them, it's their words against mine. So I'm sat there in the police station with all these statements, and these statements are kind of, you know, making out I'm Bruce Lee, and I've sort of, you know, chased them out, and I've beaten them up, and I've done all this, you know. So at the time I was, I'd just launched two businesses. So that was a real challenge, taking a lot of my time and energy. My marriage, I'd been married for probably about 14 years. That was not going well. And from, you know, being together from a young age. So I had that to deal with. So it was a cluster of things, you mm-hmm. know, that all hit me at once. Obviously this, this loom of prison was the real tipping point, you know, and that was probably the thing that really dragged me down. And for 10 months, I had this hanging over me that literally, what the heck's going to happen, you know, because there was no CCTV in the street. And that was my first call, you know, it's like, right, ooh, that's going to protect me. So there isn't any. So it's like, okay, what about in the pizza place? Because their statements kind of saying that I'm chasing them out, and that wasn't true. So anyway, fast forward 10 months later, we end up in court. And, you know, this is like the moment of truth. And you, when you find yourself in these kind of positions, you can almost find like you're floating in suspended reality. It's almost like it's not happening, but you're there. And, you know, the sort of fear of it all, you know, it's just like when you're, you know, the movies where you see somebody who's sort of underwater and they're just kind of floating in that, you know, that's what it felt like. You know, the real situation where it could literally, I could be going in there and then they could be sort of taking me away, you know, two children, I've got two businesses, you know, I've got a lot right. And I'm a very sort of, you know, I pride myself on being somebody who's very ethical and doing the right thing. So also the double whammy is I've done the right thing. As a martial artist, I've used minimal force. I've not, you know, gone to town. I've done absolutely the least I could.
Right.
But yeah, I'm still facing 6 years in prison here. So anyway, so we get in court and the judge is there, and the judge, this CCTV turns up from the pizza place. And this is after the criminal prosecution board are saying, we don't know where this is. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going to happen if this doesn't turn up? Because it's literally their statement against my one statement, you know? So this CCTV turns up, so we're watching it. So I later learned that these other people had prior convictions, as you'd expect, you know. So then we're in there and we watch these CCTV, and the judge basically sees that they were lying from their events. So fortunately at that point, he's then, well, this shouldn't be in court. I'm not going to be trying this for this period of time, you know. So, you know, at that point, you know, I got out of the situation, you know, from there.
Thank God.
So, yeah, so that was, you know, a big relief. And but it was a huge lesson and a huge fear because, you know, it could be like anybody. You could be, you know, your neighbor could say something to you and he could attack you and you could be on your own. And, you know, he falls over or something, you defend yourself. And, you know, his wife and his son or whatever then side and they all collaborate. And then all of a sudden your world could be, you know, completely changed. So it's a real reality check for me in terms of how fragile life can be. And, you know, a lot of these stories that you hear about other people and we read about them every day, you know, it's like it doesn't happen to you, you know.
And I think the question a lot of people ask themselves is, I'm doing everything right. Why is this happening? Like, why is this happening? I don't think we can fight the chaos. It's how we maneuver through it is what defines us, in my mind. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, what I learned through that is through the whole process, there was constant fight or flight. You know, I was probably having to have a couple of large glasses of red wine just to, you know, take my mind away from this. And, you know, it's not like a couple of months, it was a prolonged period and you've just got that in the back of your mind. You're running your businesses, you know, your marriage is struggling and, you know, it's probably on its way out and you haven't got that support, you know, and literally probably, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks before the trial, my wife moved out and took my children away. And yeah, and I wasn't allowed to, well, not allowed, but she thought it was okay that I didn't see them for a week at a time. So this is from used to being at them all the time, seeing them all the time. So I had all this of this aloneness of just me in a big house, you know, by myself when it was used to being the family. So it was a double whammy to deal with, you know. Now that's not normal, but I think, you know, you're right. It becomes about, and it wasn't straight away, it was a period of dealing with this, because you probably carry a lot of wounds and emotions around that. And kind of, you know, when it's a triple, quadruple whammy thing, you tend to then have this, you know, you're looking over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no logic to that, but you're looking over your shoulder thinking, what's coming next? Mm-hmm. You know, my life's in free fall here. What's gonna come at me next? And it's those emotions and that fight or flight of sort of, you know, looking back and being wounded from those situations and, you know, still living those going forward, you know, which a lot of us do with our emotions, you know?
Yeah. So what did you do? What did you do next?
Well, it was probably a period, and, you know, it can sound glamorous, and it's probably not, but it was a period of, you know, reflection. And you get into these patterns where, you know, when bad things happen, you know, your mind starts getting affected first. So you start getting the negative thoughts, the distorted thoughts, your emotions and your feelings. And then you start getting, you know, anxious. You start probably getting a little bit depressed as well. You probably start, you know, one of the things that's always got me through things is fitness. That's always been a huge part of my life. And, you know, probably without that, I definitely wouldn't have got through it, even because, you know, what happens when you get these things, you know, it could be something small, like not necessarily small, but it could be something like, you know, a business failure or a relationship breakup or whatever, yeah. You know, and those things, you grieve, they affect you, and then you spiral into these negative moods and your energies get low. And then, you know, that fuels it to get even deeper and deeper, mm-hmm. You know? And not just one thing, but a pattern of, you know, looking back on my life, I then started to question a lot deeper around, you know, my past before that, you know, and it wasn't just a case of, you know, and this is what tends to happen is you tend to look at, you know, the whole picture, because this is where I'm at right now. And, you know, regardless of the past, you've got to sort of, you know, that's all you've got, you know. So I think the first thing is you've really got to, a lot of us, some of us will wear a positivity mask. So it's like, oh, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So when, you know, that is disarming us completely from pushing it away and really dealing with the feelings of the situation and dealing with what's actually really going on. And then giving yourself the tools to actually do something about it, you know?
Yeah. In regards to this, one tool that I've learned is that putting on the everything's going to be okay mask actually actually stops the processing of feelings. Like sometimes you just have to process it. Like there's been some things we've been going on with my daughter, and something happened where I felt really sad. And when I was meditating, I wanted to push that away. And when I just felt the sadness, it worked itself through me and dissipated. It had its proper journey. I mean, what do you think about awesome. That?
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, through life, we tend to, you know, we like the happiness and the joy, mm-hmm. You know, but pain is, you know, is part of the yin and yang, mm-hmm. But it's not part of the deal that we want, you know, right. And one of the things that I realized through how I naturally reacted through things, through, you know, who you become through childhood and things like that, is naturally pain was something that I definitely ran away from. And, you know, it was completely irrational and in my body. So it's important, you know, that pain is just an emotion, just like happiness and joy is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever you've got, the first thing to realize is that, you know, nothing's going to hurt you. You know, it can be painful. It could be a death. It could be things. And, you know, they are part of the natural process. They're going to be difficult to deal with, but they're not going to kill you. And once you get grounded in reality, and one of the things that really helped me as a tool was using a pen and paper.
Really?
You know, because The main thing is what happens with the mind is, and it, let's say, you know, if you get a chain of things going wrong, then the mind will spiral out more and it will future cast and it will, you know, it will start thinking gradually more and more of the worst possibilities. And the problem with that, when you're carrying those things in your head, is, you know, that's draining an awful lot of energy. And, you know, the more those thoughts become dominant, the more those thoughts are going to take over and the more they're going to fuel greater and greater, you know, distort, I call them irrational thoughts.
Yeah.
So one of the powerful things for me was right, okay, here's the piece of paper. Right, what are the facts? You know, so the main thing was right, okay, is this fact or opinion? So every day I started writing down, here's where I'm at, here's how I feel, where do I want to go? So it made me straight away start to get rid of all, you know, the black magic and the poison that's going on in my mind, and then start to really, you know, you weaken the hold that that's got on me and the power that's got on me, you know? And, you know, so the using a piece of paper and a pen is probably the most powerful thing, because once you get those thoughts on paper, automatically when you do that, you will free that headspace straight away. So you feel better straight away. But then you already know, you know, looking at what's on the paper, you then start, well, what's the truth?
Mm-hmm.
What is the truth? What am I believing here? You know, and once you do that, you then start to feel powerful in terms of, well, no, I'm not believing all that crazy enough where my mind, you know, because the mind is a tyrant.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about prison, solitary confinement is the worst punishment. And there's a reason for that, because you're left to your own thoughts and devices. And, you know, most people, when they're left for a day or two, and, you know, a lot of us have not tried that. I've been on one, you know, silent retreat. And that was really interesting, because you learn a lot about yourself. And so, you know, it really learned me going down to this like bottomless pit of darkness. It learned me to really question about thoughts and how we can really, you know, master those and not let those dominate us. And until we get to the point where, no, I'm the voice. I'm the voice. This is not the voice. You know, this is not true. And, you know, it comes to a point where it's like, you know, it gets like tennis, you know, you're batting them off.
Yeah. I like it.
Mind. And then, you know, after a period of practicing it, it then becomes, you know, you melt those things away, you know, like you mentioned, meditation is, you know, if you meditate, when, you know, you give yourself that headspace, you know, you're less likely to react to those negative thoughts. They melt further in the background, and, you know, your whole calmness and reducing cortisol, you know, help you. You're not as reactive to those things.
And that's what you said there is exactly key of what I've experienced, is that resisting the sadness or fear makes it stronger, right? Like physics, you push and it pushes back. When I just allowed myself to experience it and allow it to flow through me. And we're talking about 15 seconds, right? It wasn't a long time. I allowed myself to be sad. And then I realized, I think this is something that you're alluding to, is I changed, I was sad about something that wasn't necessarily factual, and I changed the facts. Right. So when you're writing things down, it sounds like you're observing, what do I think? And are these things actually facts or not? And if they're not, what are the new facts that are actually true? Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, if you get a thought in your head and you attach to that and it's not true, what are you doing? You're creating, the mind creates more stories and it builds up confirmation. So then you start looking for things that confirm that, and then it starts creating more and attracting more, and pretty soon you're then in that cycle of, you know, that negative loop of, you know, fearing and attracting what you don't want.
Right. So you're experiencing all this stuff, you know, the family moves out. I'm assuming you're still trying to keep these two locations open, or have you lost those at this point?
No, I ended up closing one location.
Got it.
That was just purely, just outmaneuvered situation.
Yeah.
You know, that was just that. And then the other one was a much bigger location. And I don't know about you, it's like fitness is like, we've got a huge explosion of budget chains here. You know, we open that, and then, you know, like 2 or 3 years later, you know, there's 4 or 5 more sites.
Right.
In, you know, better locations, newer locations, you know, so we had that. So yeah, even during that one of the periods, I think it was probably a year after, I was, you know, served with a bankruptcy notice on
Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So that was obviously a tactical, you know, boom.
Yeah, but, right?
Yeah, yeah. In the end, you know, it got to a point where I sold the gym off, managed to work that out of there, and I've invested more in properties. Now I'm in a place now where I've got stress-free abundance. I've got a passive income where I can sit back and do what I want now, you know, and what I've always loved is, I mean, I'll research deeper than I probably need to. That goes into, you know, childhood. And one of the things that I really, you know, again, this would be another topic, but when I separated, and again, this would be a whole different conversation, but I'll just touch on it.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. So when I separated, I started dating again. So I met this girl on a dating app, you know, pretty common. And anyway, started going out with this girl. She was Latin. She was exotic. She was pretty. And she almost seemed like my soulmate. You know, there was so much chemistry and things going on. It was like, wow, this is karma here coming back for me.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
This is my gift. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Did I know? It was not my gift. It was a lesson for Lee.
Oh, you know? No.
So after 3 months, this relationship, she completely flipped to be a completely different person. So anyway, maybe about another 6 weeks of sort of arguments and craziness and dealing with this person that hadn't been presented to me from this sort of wonderful person, mm-hmm. then going around. So I then, you know, as I do research things and thought, this is, you know, there's something quite right about this. So anyway, I realized that this person had what you call is a narcissistic personality disorder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this brought me off on another tangent, and I read 2 or 3 books. I consumed a lot of information, and, you know, it got me really curious about childhood and how we, you know, nature, nurture, you know, how we become what we are. And they're probably one of the most extreme versions. So that got me really curious about my own childhood and things that I was dealing with, and, you know, awarenesses around lots of different things about me, and, you know, things that I was dealing with that, you know, through all this, you know, hitting the skids, you know, you, like I said, you get to question everything. So I was looking to build myself from, you know, the ground up. So I discovered a lot of things. I went on a lot of retreats. I spent a lot of money. You know, I did all kinds of different things, therapy courses. I mean, I'm as proactive as hell.
Yeah, right.
More proactive than I probably need to be. You know,
that's maybe, all right. That's all right.
I'm trying to fix it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, there's positives and negatives for that. But, you know, as a whole, it's usually a good thing. So I learned a ton about it. And anyway, through this narcissistic thing, it got me really curious about my own childhood. Now, you know, it's quite complex and things like that. But, you know, one of the things, for example, I learned about me was that I'm a deep thinker, and I get into my head quite a lot because it was protection from my childhood. I didn't consider myself to have a bad childhood at all, you know, but some of my parents were erratic behavior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the ages of 0 to 3, that is the most important time. And if your parents are stressed or there's chaos, then that is where you're going to, you know, things are going to be embedded in you at that age, that development age, which are going to affect you much later in life. So you might be more prone to anxiety. You might be more prone to those distorted thoughts. For example, when I was coming through that, I realized, well, actually, you know, I'm a person who's high energy. I've got a lot of emotion and huge amounts of passion. You know, if you see me in the gym, you probably think I'm crazy.
I love it.
You know, but I need that because I've got a fast mind. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a fast mind, and, you know, people would call that monkey mind, or, you know, you've got intelligence, clever, you're quick. If you don't allow your body to catch up, The mind will cause you all kinds of problems.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I've really got to, you know, so the why I was good at martial arts, I realized, was because I had this frigging emotion inside of me, which was like a caged beast.
Yeah.
You know, so that was, you know, with harness, that is a great tool to have, you know, but when you allow your strengths to become weaknesses, it then becomes, you know, something that is going to play against you. And often, you know, if we turn up as good day, Brian, you know, let's say, for example, like, you know, oh, you're competitive, you're driven, you know, you're all those things. Bad day, it's like, ooh, overbearing, you know, too demanding, pushy, you know.
So it's the other end of the same thing. It's an extreme of the good thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And if we overplay them and, you know, and then that comes down to, so what I figured out was going through all this journey, because, you know, going into the childhood stuff, that deep stuff, and it would take a long time. And it's a lot of trainings I do with clients, you know, but it's sort of necessary, you know, because it's all that stuff that you just don't know what's going on, that's under the hood, that's the motherboard, you know. So we've got the keyboard, which is, you know, all the conscious things. But, you know, until we start like peeling the onion back, you know, we get one layer and then it's like you start to get another understanding and another one. And then all of a sudden you start getting more curious and you're seeing more of these different things about yourself that, you know, are leading you and propelling you forwards, things that were holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really powerful. But one of the things I found was that, you know, two or three things, and this is some of the stuff that I work with clients. And this is what absolutely now I kind of feel like I'm sort of almost like, I'm not going to say it, I'll be careful saying it, but kind of semi-bulletproof in the terms of, you know, being, you know, like what Stephen Covey called, I remember listening to The Seven Habits, and, you know, I would listen to like habit one over and over again, be proactive. And he would talk about being the programmer of your life. And he would talk about choosing your responses, you know, and even in my early 20s, I would kind of, you know, I would get that, but then events in life would take me out of that and then I'd be reactive. But now I've kind of got to that point where I'm like, right, okay. So, you know, there's a methodology here on how we can, you know, control as a mostly how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do things, we can change our state.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can decide and we can be the architect of our lives, you know, and we can have, you know, powerful thoughts. You know, there are tools and ways that we can improve our mind. We can have tools which can create us, you know, powerful actions, powerful states, which lead us to, you know, creating what we want in life, you know. So these are all, you know, powerful things. And if we combine those things with tools, habits, because my like, you know, I like variety.
Yeah, right.
And I'm an expert. So, you know, I'm not somebody who gets, but my day is like, just locked into place, everything. It's a ritual, it's a habit the whole day, you know. So I wake up, boom, green smoothie in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you know, no bloating, no inflammation. You know, I'm creating what I call a flow state in the morning, or
awesome.
In martial arts, we call it no mind. So there's working out, there's meditation, there's affirmations, you know, there's lots of things. And then by 9 o'clock, I'm frigging, I'm floating. It's
right.
Like,
yeah, right.
It's like, gee, you know, this is like
unstoppable.
Yeah, this is amazing. And when you start to get on that feeling and you start to create these patterns and you have your productivity tools in that, you can literally, you know, you can move away from scarcity and lack and the chaos, you know, which starts from the mind, and especially in business, you know, a lot of people are not owning themselves. They're not running themselves. They're not leading themselves. And when you do that, you know, that chaos, it seeps into your relationships. It seeps into, you know, not being present with your children. It affects your health, and you've got all these things in, you know. So once you start to get these tools, you start to feel like, actually, I'm Superman here, you know, because I'm starting to know now how to navigate things, how to react, how to respond, and how to keep myself into, I call it like the circle of power.
Okay. So
imagine you've got like, you know, loads of circles with the outer rings, you know, and the outer circle is like scarcity. It's where you might be open to depression, low moods and other things. And in the middle is like that abundance circle. You know, it's where you're powerful, where you're confident, where you're positive, where you're strong, where you're, you know, you're being a powerful creator every day. you know, but you're present, you're enjoying things, you know, you're having it all. You're not just sacrificing yourself, you know, for, you know, chasing the money and hustling. Yeah.
The best thing about this is I can feel this as you're talking about this. I love this. I can feel this.
Yeah. And hopefully you can tell as well, you know, I absolutely love this. And, you know,
yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, when you've suffered and you have been down, you know, that creates a lot of empathy.
Mm.
So, you know, for anybody who's suffering, you know, and a lot of clients come to me and, you know, it's often through childhood, it's not through their own choice, or it's not, you know, we all need help and we all need to optimize ourselves to grow, you know, and that's what I see myself as, is this person that really, you know, helps people that have got into these patterns, whatever it is, you know, an entrepreneur who's, you know, we trick ourselves. And, you know, I was one of these people where you're driven, it's destination, come on, bang, 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 let's get there, you know, and then you're constantly on this destination. And then, you know, it's only where you sort of, you hit rock bottom or you have a health problem or you something that you, forces you to change and it forces you to do something about this, you know. And so, you know, it's being able to, you know, empower people with all these powerful tools and ways of being, so they start to create awareness and power and, you know, how they can influence themselves on a daily basis to create, you know, the feelings and the evidence of the life that they want.
And so it's, I appreciate you sharing that, because it sounds like you have created a beautiful life for yourself out of the chaos. Because I did not expect the bankruptcy papers on Christmas Eve. I didn't expect that, Lee. You've done an amazing job, and I know you know that, right? You don't need anybody telling you that. So, well, I appreciate you being on. This was enlightening to me as well as affirming. So I'm grateful for you being on. And why don't you tell people that are listening or watching how they could get a hold of you, or I know you got a program out there. Why don't you tell everybody about the program and how to get a hold of you real quick?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, as you can see from here, you know, this is my best medium. It's not writing or anything, you know, it's talking, and I can talk and talk and talk, you know. I love sharing, you know, I love helping people. And it's the most fulfilling thing in the world, you know, to do. And, but, you know, my program, people can reach me at leemainprize.com. And I've got a program called the Have It All Method. And, you know, what this is it's like a curriculum, a little bit like, you know, becoming a black belt. This is about having all the powerful tools. And it starts from, you know, powerful mindset, removing the subconscious blocks. And then, you know, like a pyramid, we work our way up to create the strong foundations. Because, you know, a lot of self-development programs, and I've invested in a lot of them myself, you know, we all have, you know, especially as, you know, we're driven and we're, you know, we're seeking improvement and enhancement, right. You know, and we get, you know, we get some good feelings from it, you know, but they never get to the root of what's really going on. So you get some good feelings, you get some motivation, you get a bit of momentum, but then you end up back with the same things you're dealing with, you know. So this, the kind of program that I've developed is kind of like the last stop in personal development, you know. It's going to give you everything that, you know, that I've figured out for myself and has helped me to go from, you know, like you said, the darkness of thinking this is it, you know, I'm, you know, where am I going to go now, I'm helpless, I'm at the bottom here, to, you know, creating a life and actually getting out of that and coming out of it stronger, better, and rising to a place that is a better place than I was before, you know?
Yeah.
So you can reach me at leemainprize.com. I've got a podcast as well. You know, I've got a lot of information out there, and, you know, people can reach out to me that are business people, high achievers, anybody that, you know, that wants to, that knows that, you know, often it's people that are sacrificing in business or their life, and the other areas of their life are missing. You know, their relationship disconnected, their health's disconnected. I had a guy the other week who was like, you know, he got all the toys, he got everything, but he got himself up to about 20 stone because he kind of figured out, right, you know, I've worked hard to get on this journey. Now I'm the man. I've got all these tools. Then it becomes about pleasure. So, you know, then you become weak because, you know, you get into these, you know, it's like dopamine, you're chasing these feel-good things and you're riding off this status, you know, and this confidence, which is short-lived, you know, and then you get into your head, you know, and then all of a sudden you're questioning and you become empty and you become bored and you become broken, you know? So, you know, these are common things, and the illusions of the mind that we think these things are chasing are going to give us. But, you know, life is this constant, you know, moving. It's this constant thing of having a new purpose. And, you know, we'd have these peaks and troughs, and we are going to find ourselves in these, you know, in these valleys and, you know, and on top of mountains. But it's a case of, you know, keeping going and you know, and having the tools that we can navigate these things without going through as much pain and suffering necessarily as maybe I have.
Exactly. So, well, I love what you're doing, man, and I appreciate you, and I thank you for being on. So, everybody, thank you for viewing and listening to this episode of the Seize Your Business podcast. Again, my name is Brian McDonald, and as always, you can find me hanging out on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/McDonald Brian, and we'll see everybody on the next episode. And also too, everything Lee shared will be put wherever this episode is. So if you didn't write it down before, don't worry, just look around wherever this is posted and you'll find all that information. Take care, everybody.
Thanks so much for watching our video. If you have any questions, feel free to comment below. Click the subscribe button for new videos every week and download and review us on iTunes. Visit learn-about-law.com for other legal-related articles and videos. Visit our business podcast and video blog, seizeyourbusiness.com, and visit Making Real Estate Fun for real estate videos and podcasts. Call us at 630-324-6666 for a free consultation. Thanks so much for watching our video. If you have any questions, feel free to comment below. Click the subscribe button for new videos every week and download and review us on iTunes. Visit learn-about-law.com for other legal-related articles and videos. Visit our business podcast and video blog, seizeyourbusiness.com, and visit Making Real Estate Fun for real estate videos and podcasts. Call us at 630-324-6666 for a free consultation.